Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Menopause from a Man. My name is Joe Hoy. I am the owner of Hoy Fit. We are a health and wellness coaching company designed only for women 40 and older. And we've done this because we've gotten really good at coaching these ladies to ultimately achieve their top level of health, happiness, confidence inside their body and inside their life. And that's all we want to stick to. What I want to do in this episode is explain why it is we coach these ladies, why the heck it is a 30-year-old man is deciding to devote the last 6 years of his life to this population. And I know that my audience, our current clients, our past clients, our community understands exactly why that is. But I also know that there's going to be a very large audience that does not know who Joe Hoy is and what my story is. So what I wanted to do today is address the very massive elephant in the room that I have been asked about almost every single week for the past 6 years after the creation of Hoy Fit and leading up to today. Now, I'm kicking off this podcast on the tail end of hosting what is the world's largest event for women in midlife and beyond to date. Okay, and so just in case you needed a little bit more certainty that we are the real deal, we do the things that create the results only for this population, that's right, I'm the host of that event. This was our first year running it. We had over 30 speakers. Many of these names you would know. Many of these names you're actually going to see on the podcast in following episodes, which is going to be great. And the goal of this podcast ultimately is going to be to make your life better, to make sure that you know you're not alone, to give you an understanding of what's going on inside your body during perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, give you the tools to do something about it in the most effective, simple, and healthy ways possible, and show you that you can live an amazing, fulfilling life in the second half of your life for the rest of your life. Okay, now that's the goal of this podcast. And before I dive into my story, I'm just going to address one little mindset problem or one little perspective problem that I often see. This podcast is going to be a little bit blunt from time to time because that's how I am. I like to really just face things head on and say it the way that I see it. And I understand that sometimes that's not going to be for everyone. And that's okay. My goal, ultimately, is to help as many women 40 plus as possible. But I understand that I'm not going to be for everyone. I hope I'm for a lot of you. I hope that I'm for 99% of you, but I understand for the 1%, I might not be your guy, and that's okay. If I'm not, I hope you find that person that works for you. I hope you achieve your long-lasting, ultimate health, happiness, and confidence goal. I just wish you the best of luck. Now, the one mindset or perspective problem that I see is that I'm a man, and you are likely a woman 40 plus. There's a big difference between you and I. I'm never going to experience midlife as a woman. I'm certainly never going to experience perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. I'm never going to know what it feels like to have the symptoms of menopause and the confusion inside my head of what is going on with my body. Am I going crazy? I'm never going to know what that feels like. You're right. But it doesn't mean that I cannot have a massive understanding and education around it, and it doesn't mean that I cannot help you, okay? That would be like going to your doctor, who may be a male, and saying, you know what, you can't help me because you don't have the same parts on your body that I have, and you don't have the same hormones that I have in the levels that I have, and you're not going to experience menopause, so you can't help me. Now, the one quote, the only thing that I need to say to kind of close out this little thought process is that if you argue for your limitations, you get to keep them. And if you want to argue that I can't help you, you're right. I can't. But if you want to keep an open mind and you recognize that we have helped thousands of women very similar to you in the past, we can probably help you too. Okay? Now that's the thought process I want you to keep as you listen to the rest of this episode and to the rest of all of our episodes inside of Menopause from a Man. You're going to hear solo episodes from myself. These are going to be all about mindset or all about education on a topic that is very pertinent to you and allowing you to get past any roadblocks or hurdles that may be in your way. You're also going to hear guest podcasts where I invite a speaker on. That could be any of our coaches inside the Hoy Fit team. We currently have four. Big shout out to Kate, Carissa, Julie, and Steven. All of our clients, all of our community members know exactly who they are. You guys are amazing. You change lives every single day. It could also be speakers that were at the 2024 Midlife Makeover Summit. Some of these names you might recognize, like Jill Shimaluski, a massive advocate for what is going on in your body inside perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. Chris Powell, you may recognize him from ABC's Extreme Weight Loss for 5 seasons. An amazing, amazing guy. Someone that I would call a friend and someone that I know is extremely caring inside of what he does day to day. Chef Maria Ibrahim, she's going to be one of our first guests and she has a ton to share with you along the lines of menopause and how nutrition is going to affect you either positively or negatively. But let's dive into today's episode. What I want to talk about is why the hell this 30-year-old cares about you and cares about seeing you become your absolute best version of yourself, and also why I didn't choose to work with you. You guys, all of you, not you specifically, but your demographic, chose me to help you. Okay, so here it goes. It's really a 3-part story. And it starts when I was 13 years old. I had 2 stepbrothers. They were in and out of the house. Sometimes they would be at my mom's house with my mom and my stepfather. And sometimes they would be at their mom's house with their mom and their stepfather. And growing up, my mom was really my only strong, consistent role model. Now, I know that for anybody that's come from other podcasts that I've guested on, you've heard this before. But I want to dive a little bit deeper. And I want to let everybody know that I did have a great dad in my life. I do have a great dad in my life. He always made the best effort that he could. He was an amazing role model as well. He taught me right from wrong. But being that I lived with my mom 90% of the time, she was there more consistently. Okay, and so that's why I say that. Okay, now with my mom being my strongest, most consistent role model, I spent a lot of time with her, especially when my brothers were out of the house. It was just me and my mom. And sometimes it was myself, my mom, and her friends. And so I spent a lot of time with her, a lot of time with her friends, and that will kind of come into play later on in the story. But at 13 years old, my mom noticed I was going down the wrong path. I was starting to hang out with the wrong kids, starting to do some pretty dumb shit, and she saw that, thankfully. And being the mom she was, really kind of watching over me and always pushing me to go in the right direction, pushing me to be better and strive for better, she ran this audible play where she said, "Joe, I hope your homework's done. I hope you've already eaten dinner. I'm all set with all my stuff. We're going to the gym. Come on, let's go." And I said yes, because growing up, I was always the slowest, weakest, skinniest, most awkward conversationally and athletically, not super smart. I just wasn't really good at much growing up, but I wanted to be because I hung out with all of the athletic kids, all of the smart kids. I hung out with my 2 brothers that were both very athletic, and I was the worst at everything I did, and it sucked, right? At first, when I was younger, I got picked on by my brothers and my friends in a fun way. "Hey, Joe, come on, you got to be faster. You got to be better. You got to try harder." And even though it was fun, it always bothered me. So I put 2 and 2 together and I figured if I went to the gym, I would get better at things. So the first day she brought me to the gym, I fell in love with it. I saw men inside the locker room, inside the weight room that looked exactly what I wanted to look like when I got older. They were stronger. They had muscles. They were not looking at the ground when they talked to you. They were looking you in the eye. They had their chin up, their chest out. They were confident. And so that's exactly who I wanted to be. So I fell in love with the gym, thank God, because it kind of absolutely redirected me down the right path. And if she hadn't done that, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. I have no idea where I would have been, because that path that I was going down was going to lead me in the complete wrong direction. So number one, I'm thankful that my mom brought me in the gym. And I realized at a young age that my mom is the one that really redirected my path. And I understood that if my mom redirected my path, I bet there's a whole lot of other moms that run the household that can redirect their house down the right path as well. And so if I want to create impact, the mom, the woman that runs the house, is the one that I need to impact, because I'm going to impact the entire household if I can change her life. Through the past 6 years of doing this, I've seen that over and over and over again. So I was right on the money. So that's part one of the story, is I wanted to give back to my mom, and I wanted to impact kids like me that may be going down the wrong path, or just give everyone the best outcome possible. And by doing that, I had to work with the person that is looked up to the most inside the house, which 99% of the time is the mom. Now, I continued going to the gym from 13 to 18 years old, up until I graduated high school. I shot up to about 5'11", but I really didn't gain much more weight. I stayed just as skinny, okay? So at that point, graduating high school, I was 5'11". I was 140 to 145 pounds. Now, when I started going to the gym at 13, I was 135. So in 5 years of consistently going to the gym, 5, 6, 7 days a week, I gained 5 to 10 pounds. But I grew. So a lot of that weight probably came from simply gaining longer bones and my organs growing and my muscles growing a little bit, but not massively. I was still lanky and skinny and awkward, and I was still getting picked on. But now it was no longer from my friends and my brothers. I lost a lot of friends. I was getting picked on by people that were doing it to hurt me, right? And at first it was just words, really, really unkind words. And while words won't hurt us physically, they can definitely do some mental damage. And then eventually it became a little bit physical, and it led to somebody pushing me down 2 flights of stairs and ultimately wanting to physically injure me. And that was it. That was the last straw. It created a massive chip on my shoulder, and I really wanted to gain weight. I no longer want to do it for confidence reasons. I no longer wanted to do it for any of these reasons to get better and more athletic. I wanted to do it to prove everyone wrong and make everybody stop just hurting me day to day. And so I graduate high school. I continue to go to the gym after I enter college. Funny enough, the kid that pushed me down 2 flights of stairs, we actually became really close friends afterwards. We got in trouble at school because of that. I saw him in the gym 3 days after, and I'm someone that refuses to hold grudges. So I walked straight up to him. He was kind of avoiding me. I walked straight up to him, and I looked him in the eyes and said, "Hey, we're done. We're going to squash this. Now, we don't need to be friends, but I don't want any more trouble, so let's just stop." He agreed to it. We shook hands. We slowly started talking. We ended up going to the same college, and we became really good friends, funny enough. But inside of college, I was still exercising, like I said, still eating as much as I could, still couldn't gain weight. But at the same time, 2 things happened. Inside of college, I was pursuing a career in the medical field. I'll get to that here in a moment. But I also took up drinking and partying. And so the weight gain started to happen. I was eating enough food, I was lifting enough weights, and I was drinking more than enough alcohol and sleeping not even close to enough. So I definitely gained weight. And I always had this goal body in mind that also related to a goal weight. And this is going to be important. I want you to take note of that sentence, because we're going to touch on it in later episodes. But I wanted to be 195 pounds. And I wanted to be that weight because whenever I looked at magazines or online forums for fitness or bodybuilding, the men that I saw that were my height that had the body composition that I wanted weighed 195 pounds. So I knew that I needed to be 195 pounds in order to be happy, in quotation marks. Now, with drinking and partying and lifting and eating, I did get to 195 pounds, and I got there really, really fast. I also didn't stop at 195 pounds. I blew up to 225 pounds, and this was in probably 12 to 18 months. So a year to year and a half, I gained 80 pounds. From 145 pounds to 225, I ballooned up so quickly. I blew right past my goal weight of 195 because I couldn't stop, and I went to 225. Then I had a new problem. No, I wasn't getting picked on anymore. High school had ended, but I was still unhappy with myself. All those words stuck with me. I was still slow, still unathletic, still didn't have any confidence. I was no longer skinny. Now I was fat, and I hated it just as much. But at the same time, like I said, I was pursuing a career in the medical field. And so I started taking courses on nutrition, anatomy, physiology, kinesiology, microbiology, and I really started to understand exactly what the body needed in order to create healthy change. I was my first guinea pig. I quit the partying, I cut the drinking, I dialed in my sleep, and I really dialed in my training and my nutrition. And then eventually, I went from the 225 pounds that I was and I got right down to 195, where I had always wanted to be. And I grew up in a really small town, and people started to notice. And then people started to ask. They came up to me, and they saw the new Joe, the Joe that I had always wanted to be, the confident one with his head up and his chest out. He looked people in the eye when he spoke. He didn't stutter. And they asked me, like, Joe, how did you do it? I was like, do what? How did I do what? Like, how did you go from so skinny, absolutely not confident at all, a little bit awkward, to then you were fat, you acted the same way, and now look at you. I don't even recognize you. Not physically, but mentally, and how you act as well. How did you do that? And the first couple of people were just friends or acquaintances that I knew from the gym, and I'd help them for free, and they would get results. But then too many people started to ask. And growing up, I always had this business type brain. I would always try and sell something, whether it was stickers in elementary school because I was a little bit artistic, or I graduated that to t-shirts in high school because still I was a bit artistic. I had a few little startup businesses that failed, and rightfully so, they were a little bit silly. But I always tried to sell something to make an extra dollar. And I had enough people ask to where I could no longer focus on my grades in college and pursuing my career that I'll tell you about here in a moment, and helping people. So I decided to weed out the people that were going to waste my time, and I started charging for it. And then enough people asked when I was charging for it that I had a new problem. I still couldn't serve all of the people that I was charging to change their body. So I decided to really streamline this. And what I decided to do, based on some influencer I saw online, is run some 8-week weight loss challenge. And so it was inside of a Facebook group. We would have these weekly Zoom calls every Sunday to check in. And I put together this roadmap, this very generalized roadmap for people to succeed. And ultimately, I thought that I wanted to help people like me, either young men that were too skinny, gain muscle and feel confident with their shirt off, or young men that were overweight, lose fat and feel confident with their shirt off, right? We're always trying to solve problems of our past selves. At least that's what people tell us. It wasn't the same for me. I thought I wanted to, but I started marketing this 8-week online fat loss challenge to people locally, on Facebook, on Instagram, and I started to get signups. I got a lot of signups, but I never really looked at the names. I just knew people were signing up. I knew I had a start date. And on Sunday morning, I would open up my Zoom and I would look at all the faces staring back at me, and I would coach them for the next 8 weeks to lose fat and look great with their shirt off. Except there was one slight difference. The day of that Zoom call, that very first Zoom call where I opened it up, I sent everyone the link to join me. I look at all the faces staring back at me. And aside from two or three friends that I made in college that were just supporting me because they wanted to see their friend do well, every other face staring back at me looked a whole lot more like my mom and a whole lot more like I would assume you look like, the person listening to this podcast. They were women in their 40s, their 50s, and their 60s. I had no idea why. But at the end of that first Zoom call, I rolled with it, of course. At the end of that first Zoom call, we were all laughing. We were all having fun. It was a blast. I got off and I felt energized. I had such a good time. And at the end of those 8 weeks with that first group of weight loss challengers, almost every single person got results. Now remember, almost every single person was a woman in her 40s, 50s, or 60s. And I loved it. At first I panicked. I said, oh no, this is not who I want to help. I don't want to do this. I did something wrong. I need to go back and change the plan. But 8 weeks later, I loved it. And I said, there is nothing to change here. I had a blast. These ladies got results. They feel better. And I know I'm going to help their children, their spouse, and of course themselves. Now, what I realized later on is that growing up with my mom as my strong, consistent role model and spending time with her friends when my brothers were away, I learned to communicate and talk in a way that resonated with them. And so I naturally drew them in. It's not like I was marketing to these ladies on purpose. I was just marketing, and that's who I attracted. So I rolled with it. Okay. And then the last part of this story, like I said, I was pursuing a career in the medical field. What that career was a surgical technologist. Now, that's not a really impressive career in itself. There's nothing wrong with it. You can make a great living doing it. I had an amazing time doing it. I loved my job, but it's nothing special. Basically, what it is you go into the operating room before anybody else, and you set up the operating room with all of the sterile equipment. You drape the table. When the patient comes in, after they go to sleep, you drape them and make sure everything's sterile and safe for that procedure and make sure that the patient is safe. And then when the doctor gets ready for surgery, depending on the size of the hospital, if it's a really big hospital, they'll have an assistant or a PA or a resident, and that's the person that assists or helps the doctor with surgery. And my job at that point, if I was in a big hospital, would be to take the instruments or the tools for surgery needed and give it to the doctor when he asked for it. And then after that surgery, we break down the table, we take it to sterile processing, turn it over, and do it again on the next case. And that's the job. But I, like I said, I grew up in a really small town, and we had a really small hospital. So the doctors I worked with, they didn't have assistants. They didn't have PAs. They didn't have residents most of the time. Sometimes they did, and when they did, my job was exactly what I just explained. But I would say 90% of the time, I also filled that role. I filled the role of surgical technologist, passing the doctor the instruments that he needed to do the job that he or she needed to do. But that doctor only has two hands, and they need a resident, an assistant, a PA. And a lot of times, my job was to fill that role as the assistant. So while I'm passing instruments, I'm also retracting the wound open. I'm also helping them with whatever they can't do with their own two hands. So I'm front and center learning every single thing I can, like a sponge, soaking up everything I can about how the body works and functions. And with what I knew I wanted to do long term, which is coach people to be healthy, I was asking as many questions as I could to see how this person could have prevented themselves from walking into the operating room in the first place. Now the story goes deeper. Although I was getting a massive generalized experience in terms of how the body functions, operates, and what people need to do to avoid getting in the operating room, the hospital I worked at had a team of 7 surgical technologists. It was myself and 6 other ladies. Now they thought, the hospital, thought it was gonna be a really great idea to take me, the one male on the team, and stick him inside the OB and GYN based rooms. Okay, so that's obstetrics and gynecology. Now, obstetrics is going to be anything birth related, gynecology is gonna be just the female body. And so for the next 3 to 3.5 years, I spent 40 hours a week plus on-call emergency surgery, mostly working on the female body, spending all my time with these surgeons that had spent their entire adult career learning everything they needed to know about how it worked and functioned. And so there I was, sitting there like a sponge, helping the doctor with surgery, soaking up everything I could to get this understanding, because I knew that outside my day job, I had this side hustle in parentheses that I knew I wanted to turn into my main hustle. And the best thing I could do for my clients' outcomes would be to understand their body, hopefully better than they understand it themselves. And so I was asking the doctor every single question that I would get from a client that I didn't know, I would take with me to the operating room and ask them as in-depth as possible. If a new case came in that I didn't see, I would ask them, hey doc, how'd they get here? What happened? What is the function of this organ right here? How do these hormones play a role? What can we do with this lady at this age so that maybe she doesn't need to come in here again? Any question you can ask, I asked, and I soaked it up as much as possible. And so it eventually got to the point where my 3-part story concluded. Number one, I wanted to give back to people like my mom, because my mom is the one that massively changed the direction of my life. If she hadn't brought me to the gym that day, if she hadn't played that audible and really stepped in and done something about the path I was going on, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast, I promise. And so I realized that. And I love my life. I love the opportunities I've been given. I love the opportunities that I've created. But I wouldn't have created any of them if it wasn't for her. So I want to give back to my mom and everybody like my mom to hopefully impact as many lives as possible. That's part one. Part two is that I resonate with these ladies. I talk with them. I communicate with them in a way that makes them feel comfortable. We have fun together every single day. Why would I want to do anything else? And then number three, some people like it when I say this, some people don't. If you don't, I'm sorry, but it might be true. And if it's not true, then I'm glad you're super educated. But I understand the female body better than many, many women understand their own body. And so that's my 3-part story. That's why I did not choose to work with this community. This community chose to work with me. I got pushed in these directions time and time again. but I fell in love with it. And this exact thing, this exact topic that I'm talking about today used to be my weakness. I used to be so shy because I would get so much pushback. Joe, you're 24. What are you going to do to help a 50-year-old woman? Joe, you're 26. What do you know to help a 50-year-old woman? Joe, you're never going to know what it's like to go through this. Joe, you're never going to feel it. You're right. I'm never going to feel it. But at this point, 6 years later, I've changed thousands of lives. And thousands of those lives have been women over 40. And so ultimately, it comes down to, do you want help changing your life in the best way possible, in the most simple way possible, in the healthiest way possible, in the most enjoyable way possible? If you do, we can help you with that, and we do it every single day. Now, for everyone listening, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. I promise you, I will not disappoint you on this podcast. I'm going to bring in some of the best experts inside the menopause space, inside the weight loss space, inside the nutrition space, inside the exercise space, and the mindset space. I will bring in every single expert I can. Number one, selfishly, to learn from so I can get better inside my coaching and teach our coaches inside Hoy Fit to be better as well. But number two, to help you along the way. My goal with this podcast is the same exact goal we have inside of Hoy Fit, inside our community, and inside of our coaching program. And I want it to follow these two things. I want it to, number one, be simple. Everything you learn inside this podcast, I want to be extremely simple and easy to understand. And so when we bring in these experts, I know that sometimes when I'm trying to learn a new topic and I listen to an expert, they're so good and so well-versed at what they do that the way they say things just goes over my head. And I never want that to be true for you. So in the coming podcasts, my goal is to make it simple. I'm going to ask these professionals to slow down and really explain things in a way that someone without the education can understand. So I hope you're ready. I hope you're excited for that. But number two, I also want this to be enjoyable, because I understand that if you don't enjoy what you're doing or what you're listening to, you're not going to do it and you're not going to listen to it forever, which means you're not going to get a result or you're not going to get an education. And you need both of those to be successful long term. So again, I'm Joe Hoy, head coach and owner of Hoy Fit, host of what is the largest event for women in midlife and beyond to date, called the Midlife Makeover Summit. We're going to be having the 2025 Midlife Makeover Summit. Don't worry for everyone that just showed up to the 2024. The next one is already in the works. It's going to be 10 times bigger. And again, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope you have a better understanding of me, why it is I care about you and want to see you succeed. And I hope that you come and join our free community. I will have that linked inside the show notes. Until next time, have a good day. Bye.